Brass Jacks, good morning. Hello. 434-1790, Brass Jacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, how are you?
I'm doing okay for now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard the phrase, common sense is not common?
I hear it regularly, yeah.
Okay. It's a little troubling to me. Why are so much Barbadians still walking the highways and byways without wearing a mask, playing silly mini buses? They got the mask under their neck,
mm-hmm.
among other people. Why is it so hard for these people to understand? Must the government go to serious measures like Jamaica, St. Kitts and Trinidad?
Yeah, well, they're charging people $20,000, isn't they?
Yeah, you know, they ain't gonna charge $20,000. Just charge between $5,000 and $1,000.
So they're not accustomed to it. Some people take it as a fashion statement. Others see it as a bother. And there are still others who say, look, COVID ain't in Barbados. We're bringing it in. I ain't really bothered with this thing. It's just a reaction. It's unfortunate because misinformation is competing with common sense and people going with what they want to.
Yeah, you remember speaking to someone a little while back about a gentleman that had a taxi service?
Yeah, Amigo Taxi Service, yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he understood other languages.
Very well, from what I was told.
Yeah, well, you're never coming from. I won't go into that.
No, let me say this, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I know somebody who, when they walked out of school, I think they were about 15 at the time, and said they couldn't take this, learning math and French and Spanish was foolishness, and they went to work on a cargo boat. And when they were finished, I think perhaps when he was about his mid-40s, the man was speaking about 3 or 4 languages fluently. Eh? The same thing he said he couldn't learn in school, he was speaking fluently because he had to learn it. He told me there were Koreans on the ship, there were people from all over the place, and he had to talk to them, so he learned. So people learn differently. They pick up things if they have to. It is an interesting sidebar, but yep. Yep.
Okay, I'll make this short now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could read between the lines.
I try to. I will.
People got to realize that intelligence is not a privilege. It's a gift. That is why I don't get a genius next door or up the road. Beethoven was one of them. He wrote his first symphony when he was 5 years old.
Yeah.
That can't be a privilege. That is intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate that people tend to find time to do more things than to just read and understand simple things.
All right. I thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Someone said, two messages I received here that said, no courtesy title is given to the husband of a dame. Poor fella. Husband of Dame Michelle Braffitt, have to be Mr. Braffitt, the consort of the dame. Tell Mr. Braffitt, no such title. Well, ladies have the luck, I guess. Brass Stacks, good morning. Dennis said this, we don't have community spread. I understand wearing the mask in crowded area. I don't wear one unless I go into a building. Right. Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you doing?
I'm trying to do okay. And you?
I'm okay for now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got something that bothering my mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's a relative of mine who's working. I said, a general worker. Off and on, like, buying holidays, weekends. And for 20 years, he's employed. The person that employ him never give him a vacation pay. You think that's right?
Ma'am, unfortunately, and it is unfortunate, people end up in contractual arrangements that exploit them. And sometimes they end up in those situations because they're not aware of what they should be getting. No one advises them. They therefore don't know. And sometimes it's not even on and off like you've described with this person. Like, you would find, for example, let's say broadcasting. I'll use broadcasting as an example since I know. You may have persons who are what you call freelance operators. They work with you year round. They only work on Saturdays and Sundays for 5 hours. And they work every Saturday and Sunday for the entire year. And their contracts would have no clause in it that says you're due vacation from X to Y, because according to the contracts they have, they're called as needed when needed. And sometimes it's not envisaged that they work every Saturday and Sunday for an entire year. And the feeling is they could always say, I'm not coming next week or the week after, or the week after I've taken a break, and that they're entitled to do so. So they get contracts that don't have anything about vacation pay in it. That happens. It happens. Okay. It happens in more cases than you would believe. Trust me on that. Okay. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing.
Right.
I've listened to radio different times.
Mm-hmm.
And I got people to be calling in. And when they're calling in, it's always this word. I like that all the time. It's very annoying. When it can't come, like, moderators, but when it's always got the words at the top of their mouth.
No.
But they always come with the I am and all that.
Because of two reasons, ma'am. One, let me defend a few of them. One, they're nervous. Two, it gives them, you see, I just use arm, gives them an opportunity to put their thoughts together. And rather than just pausing, they drag out arm. It's a tick, a nervous reaction or fallback position. Like I say, let me say this so often sometimes that I have to pull myself back and say, you said that just now, Dennis, and I'll say it again. But it's a fallback position. Unfortunately, people are not as fluent as others, and they, rather than just pause to put their thoughts together, they say arm. I know it annoys some people, but it's a fallback position. Don't hold it against them. I know, but there are some people who see this as a conversation. You see how you and I are having a conversation? You're talking to me, and I'm talking to you? We're not paying attention to Michelle or anybody else who's listening online who can say, you know, you're talking too long. What are you talking about? They're just talking backward and forth. So we're having a conversation. There are other people who want to make a point. They don't want conversation. What they want to talk about is annoying them, and it comes out in a rush, or they're not sure how to say it, that they don't offend anybody. So they go, because they're fighting with themselves over what they want to say. It's a tick. I know how it sounds, but, you know, just smile at it when you hear it.
Okay, but I just believe that they should get the words in
together.
Yeah. Come on,
some people write it, you know.
Video.
Some people write it. They just say it better than others.
Okay, then.
All right, ma'am. Have a good day. Brass text 4341790. Good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
My lord. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing good, I hope.
Good. Mr. Johnson, this is the voice that spoke to you last week concerning the General Post Office.
Yes, sir.
Have you acquired any substantial information on...
as to whether foreign mail is coming or going? No,
yes,
sir. I sent a request, a message, and I have not had a response from the good lady who used to handle their PR. I do not know.
Okay. And it is very concerning, actually, because there are a number of us here who needs to be able to get information out to the UK. And you can only do so by post correspondence. And I wish the government will hurry up and do something about it.
But sir, if the problem is not on our end,
yes,
what can they do? Is there any, have you tried to find out if there's any other way you could get that information out?
No, the other way that you'll have to go to DHL and you have to pay them $100 to get your postage transferred to them.
Okay.
Yes. But I know that postage are coming out of the UK.
But I'm not saying that it's not, which is why I'm trying to figure out what the information I was trying to get was what's happening going the other way. I'll try again to see if I can get information on that for you, sir.
Yeah, because the letterboxes here are sealed for overseas, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the reason for it if other mails are coming in.
I will try to find out for you, sir.
I'll be much obliged. Mm-hmm. And one day, I will speak to you privately about water problems.
Okay, sir. I will wait to hear that.
I won't speak to you over the air. Yeah. I'll speak to you privately.
Okay, sir.
All right?
Okay.
Okay.
Let me say good morning to folks, Sandra and the good folks who serve some people food at this time of day. There are people apparently having their lunch or getting their lunch. And my arming was getting in their way. So I will try not to arm anymore while you enjoy your lunch or getting your lunch where you're getting it. Boy, I get some very strange messages. Brastax, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Dennis.
Yes, good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
I am good. It's
good to have you back with us.
It's good to be here.
All right. So I want to touch on 2 points today. One, I understand that you are in favor of, and I want to start with that. This is in relation to ministers and the job of being a minister. Mm-hmm. They had a discussion recently about who should be a minister and whether somebody run there should be a minister.
Right.
It is my personal belief that we need to move forward with our politics and the way we run our country. I believe it needs to be a professional position. I am not saying that the person who runs cannot be a minister of agriculture. If they have the qualifications, they could apply for the position. But I think the time has come that we need to put square pegs in square holes, round pegs in round holes.
There are countries that are exploring that possibility for the reason given is that they believe that MPs, meaning members of parliament, should be representing their constituency. And some of them, depending on what ministry they get, will spread the largesse to their constituency and their constituency only. And other people will suffer because their MP is perhaps a minister of foreign affairs and always out of the country, so it can't be formed for parliamentary representation. So it's an argument that has been made in more than one jurisdiction for different reasons, but
Yeah, I say we need to explore it. It needs to be explored. And like I said, if you have the qualifications and you happen to run and win in your area and you can carry both, fine. But I think we need to adjust our system. We've been going now with the independent 50-something years, and maybe we need an adjustment. We need to evolve, you know, and maybe get a hybrid situation. You know, we pick the best that suit our conditions, our environment, and how our money is generated. My second point is, it appears to me that we as Barbadians, I'm going to say we, include me in this, we somehow believe that when we go and put our X on the day of voting, that the job is now done and we've left it up to the politicians to do. But I would like us to understand that we still carry a responsibility as the citizens of this country. And some of our responsibilities are as follows. When putting out your garbage, make sure it is properly placed in the bags and there's nothing can tear the bag, so that when the person who comes to collect it, the professional who comes to collect it, do not have to deal with the fact that the bag, you know, disintegrates,
it's
all over the place, and now he has to now get a shovel and a rake, which also slows down production. This is your responsibility as a citizen. There are many more. The others is, as a citizen, and you have an item you're using, you're carrying with you, you're eating, you're drinking out of it, you're sleeping on it, and it's time to dispose of it. As a citizen, there's a correct way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why we need to do it the correct way, because it will cost us less money in the long run. The more money we have to pay to have a gully cleaned up, is the less money available to help a mother of three send to school her children. You know, these are responsibilities as a citizen, how we drive on the road and try very hard not to drive recklessly, and so call upon resources that need to be mobilized to now save your life. You know, that resources that could be used elsewhere to, again, maybe help a mother of two send school her children.
Going back to your comment about qualified persons doing jobs as ministers, I have a question here asking if you know of any place where that has happened, and how do you see it improving the quality of ministerial responsibility done that way? Let me put it that way.
Okay, let me respond. As far as I know right now, when we hear about it, it sounds to me like the permanent secretary is the minister anyhow. So let's start there.
Okay.
And they're the ones who are responsible for guiding the minister. So I think that's where we can start.
Okay.
We can start with all permanent secretaries.
And find qualified ones and call them minister instead.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And then we start from there. We start the process of saying, and also you can now place them on a contract with certain
stipulations,
you know,
and guidelines, and
you know
what you'll be accused of doing then, right? You'll be accused of saying you've given somebody qualified the job to do, and you, the person who was not qualified to do the job, you're now assessing them and taking them in or out based on your assessment of how they did the job. But it's a discussion that we should explore. I like the way you put it on the table, because it's going to generate discussion. And I like hearing discussions, and we throw the thoughts backward and forward. I thank you for bringing it up, and hopefully we'll talk some more about it. Got a message here as we go to the break that says, I made a comment about we fished for our food from the time of Columbus. And the person said to me, we couldn't fish at the time of Columbus because we were in shackles. My grandmother was a Carib Kalinago. We fished before Columbus came here. And that's the comment I was making. We got regional roundup. We track the latest, and we have network news from Flow. We have sports as well. All ahead on the first of the information breaks on this, the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341-790-266-4862. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Michelle Braffith, the technical operator producer. Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2. We have a break for the latest at 12:30. It's raining in the nation's capital. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Yes, Michelle, that's not tears. That's water falling on my head. Hello.
Michelle Braffitt, the technical.
Hello. Come off the radio. To the phone. The break's over. Hello. Okay, let's try another one. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I would like to deal with two words.
Mm-hmm.
Before I go into the two words,
mm-hmm.
you ever hear of a parrot?
A parrot?
Talking.
I've heard about them. I don't think I've actually heard one up close and personal talking back to me.
No, a parrot speak with jumps. How are you this morning? The parrot says, good.
Okay.
Now, if I ask you, Mr. Johnson, how are you this morning?
I'd say fine, thank you, more than likely. Rather than
or sometimes you would not say, I'm fine, or...
Oh, yeah, I'm good, yeah.
Oh, good? I'm good.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you would never say, good,
good,
man.
Yeah, okay.
You wouldn't just say, good.
One word by itself.
Now, when you are writing, you avoid using the word and many times,
mm-hmm.
or the word am. No, remind you, I'm not a teacher.
Okay.
I have common sense.
Is that like, verified by other sources?
No. The reason why I mentioned that is because I heard of a person speaking to you early on, and they were saying that they don't like to hear people use the word am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you are speaking, the word am and comes in very often because of the way you may have to answer or the way you have to present your conversation. You can't speak like a parrot. So therefore, I'm saying that the word am, when people have it's come like a punctuation to say I am, and what, you know, I use it many times. I hear you use it many times also.
I do. I use it from time to time. I try to avoid it because I know it annoys people. There are people who have speech impediments, sir, and they find ways of masking the fact that they have a speech impediment. Now, there are people who have a tight tongue. You know what's a tight tongue?
Yeah.
Right. There are people who have tight tongues and they speak in a certain way. There are others who have a tight tongue, but you wouldn't know because they've been trained to not do or sound the way someone who has a tight tongue has. They've worked on it. There are people who have speech impediments. They may stammer, and in an attempt to cover the stammer, they use arm. Now, I know a lawyer, former member of parliament, Michael Ashley, how are you, sir? Good afternoon. Who says arm very often when he's talking in public, like if he calls the program and talk on the radio or is speaking to a reporter, he says arm fairly often. I have spoken to Michael Ashley in person, and I don't remember him saying arm on one single occasion that he's spoken to me. So apparently there is a time when he says arm frequently and there's a time when he does not. I remember having a conversation with him about music, and I can't remember saying him saying arm at all. But I've heard him on the radio, I've heard him in newscasts when he was a member of parliament, and he says arm fairly regularly.
That is because he is being questioned, and when you are being questioned, you don't have
And being a lawyer, he don't want to say something that you will be misquoted.
Exactly.
You know, which is why I said so to the lady, that it's a fallback position when you're formulating your thoughts for some people. Yeah.
So therefore, it cannot be. I wouldn't say it is a word that that you shouldn't use, because it becomes natural. Because when you're writing is different from when you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Many persons that write. I used to work with the newspaper, so I know script.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. When you're writing, mm-hmm. you try to avoid certain
words
repeating themselves.
Yeah.
But when you're speaking, you can speak fluently and use
those words.
Your words improper.
Yeah. I'll tell you, since you were talking about newspaper and scripting, as someone who likes to read a lot, sometimes I read the same thing three times. I read it for information. I read it for style. And then I read it, okay? And I would see, for example, a report that says five different paragraphs, and every paragraph starts the same way. The minister said, the minister said, the minister said, the minister said, the minister said. And I would look at it and go, somebody should have realized that each of these five paragraphs starts in the exact same way, and it would bore the reader, and they should try to change it. Now, there are people who would read that and find nothing wrong with it. But if I were reading that story on air in a newscast, and I said, the minister said, the minister said, the minister said, the minister said, you notice by the time I say the third time, you're going to be annoyed.
Yeah. So you're
going to be annoyed.
What's wrong with he knew that? Oh, he said
correct. You'll be annoyed. So
right.
You can do the same thing, you know, you can see the same thing, and it wouldn't annoy you. But when you start saying it, you suddenly realize, this ain't sounding right. I need to find another way to say it. So it's something that happens, as I said to the lady, it happens when you when you work in an environment and you fall into a pattern. There's a friend of mine who listens to Brass Tacks, and I would get a message saying, you've said that too often. You know, a particular comment that I would make from time to time. Like, let me say that. You know, they would tell me, you said that already, don't say it again. Or I would be listening to an outside broadcast with one of my team members, and they would say, I see you have. And I would tell them, don't say it again. You said, I see you have, on three occasions. Because they're not thinking, as you say, they're having a conversation, so they're just talking. But they wouldn't write it, but they're just talking.
You shouldn't write the way you speak.
You speak?
You should not speak. Speaking, uh-huh. even though you can speak properly, uh-huh. speaking and writing are two different ways of putting over your thoughts and so on, you know? Mm-hmm. And it really brings good, good diction and so on to the person, the reader, when you write properly, mm-hmm. and when you don't use words
repeatedly. Yeah.
Repeatedly, yeah. yeah.
Makes sense, sir. Thanks for sharing that as well, sir. I'm sure it will help. It will help those who perhaps sometimes don't like hearing the person saying the same thing over and over. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
How are you, sir? I'm good. How are you, my friend?
I'm cool, man.
You enjoying the weather?
Yeah, man. I can't understand. I was about to ask the same thing.
I like that.
On me. And all farmers should enjoy the weather.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, and yeah.
Be very choosy on what you plant. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm the planting tomatoes. That's a no-no, unless you get a brand out of Trinidad called King Kong.
Right.
Most farmers not even hear the name. It exists, and it was planted in Barbados.
Years ago.
To me asking a guy to bring it in.
Okay. And then right. what happened to it?
He sent it to all the plantations.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Okay. We're going past that now. I hope Barbados been listening real careful to what Caswell was saying. There's certain things could pass through the House or through Parliament that were put in the official Gazette at very short notice and then pass it and it become law. If somebody smart happened to question it, they would pull it out. Instead of the law would be already passed, but instead of implementing it, it would go back through to the House again. Let me say this: that Caswell Franklin is a Robin Hood. You know what Robin Hood did in the English system?
According to the stories, yes.
Right, Caswell is a Robin Hood, and I pray to God that Caswell will have a long life to become Robin Hood for a long time. You would jump to know how many poor people dead and left properties, their attorney had it in hand, and it vanished. That's all I would say to the day. Have a good day.
You too, sir. Someone's saying that the conversation will make people uncomfortable. The conversation I had prior to this one would make people uncomfortable calling in if they can't speak the Queen's English. That's not true at all. We had a program called Lawyer on Call. The host was a gentleman by the name of Sir Frederick Smith. Sir Frederick Smith spoke Bajan in the Queen's English. I hope you could unravel that. So the problem that I have, right, and I have it really, really badly, right? I'll tell you why I have it. Every time there's a conversation started on this radio about Bajan dialect or dialect in general, people always start talking about poor grammar and calling it dialect. It's not. Dialect is a language. It has its nuances. It has the reasons why it's phrased the way it's phrased. Grammatically incorrect language is grammatically incorrect language. We use it from time to time in our dialect, but we know when it is. That's why I talked about a vagrant who quoted the entire passage of the scripture to me in what I called biblical language. He did not use dialect. he spoke the way it was written in biblical times. Whenceforth and therefore, and, you know, all that language. That's not our native tongue. We don't like using words like good, better, and best. We repeat the word, well, in some countries, let me say that, because I lived in too many. We repeat the word three times. So you're talking about a girl, you say she's sweet, sweet, sweet. You don't say she's very sweet. You know, you may say this tea is too sweet. You may also say she's too sweet, meaning something completely different. But we understand what we mean when we say, you know, man, this thing hard, hard, hard. That's how we say it, very hard. We do not say, oh, it is extremely hard. There's a guy who did a piece that I thought was incredible. He talked about how we use our language and the rhythm and the way in which we speak and how sweet it is. He said, you know, you bump into an English person and they say, or you say something to them, and somebody from England will say, I beg your pardon. I don't understand what you said. He said, we ain't got time for all that. We say, eh? And we know what we mean by that, you know? And then we could repeat eh and mean something else. So if the lady asks you, Maurice, would you like a piece of my chicken? Yes. Rather than say, no, thank you, you'd say, eh. And we know what that means too. That's our language. That's the way we speak to each other, okay? Now, that's dialect, okay? Grammatically incorrect is what Maurice and I sometimes twist our head on when we get a newscast or we read something in the newspaper and the subject does not agree with the verb. That's not dialect. That's just improper grammar. That's the English lesson for the day. People can call brass tacks and speak in any language that's understood by those who hear them. So, good afternoon. And Michelle, you can now hear the rain, right? Good. Brass tacks, good afternoon. 434-1790, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Hi.
Yes. Hello, I'm calling from overseas, so I have a bit of difficulty.
Okay, you may have a slight delay, but I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, now what I'm going to say may take a little bit of time, but I will try it and say it as quickly as possible. Now, I live overseas, and from time to time, I, like a lot of other people in the diaspora, make a trip back home. Now, one common feature of almost everybody who comes from Barbados and goes to the diaspora is that they want to get back home. They also want to do the best possible for the country when they come back and offer whatever assistance they can in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
That has happened. But what I want to talk about this morning is something that is unique in that we have people who come from, who come back and offer to give their knowledge and their expertise for the use of the country to the government or whoever. I train in the medical field, and a lot of my friends are also trained in the medical field. And one of my compatriots has expressed his frustration in that his knowledge is not affected, not in terms of his qualifications, but in terms of his desire to help the country, and no, people do not want to accept it. He has just made a discovery in terms of treatment of COVID-19. And he has tried to get people from back home interested in this discovery. And he has rejected, and he has expressed his frustration in terms of getting acceptance. He has found a way of treating COVID within a very short space of time. He you know, done the research, and when he offers this information to people in Barbados, they don't want to accept it.
Did they give him a reason why?
Is that your pardon?
Was he given a reason why? Did he say why it was not accepted? Is it because it has not been tested widely and he can't show the places where it has been introduced and how it has worked?
No, but they don't even want to listen to him.
Okay.
Right? To understand exactly where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, it is known that zinc ion in association with chemical substance called pyrrolidine, that they affect the ability of the RNA virus to replicate.
Yeah, so you see, but sir, here's the problem that the person you're speaking on behalf of would face. If someone says to the medical fraternity in Barbados, look, I have found this method of dealing with COVID-19 and I would like to introduce it to you. If the person can back it up by saying, these are the institutions that have tried this, these are the people that I've spoken to, this is the progress that's been made since I've come up with this idea, perhaps they would give him a more sympathetic ear than if the person said, I have this way you can treat COVID-19, I want you to listen to me. In professions such as the medical field, because of the nature of what can happen if you do the wrong thing, people like to have tests done and ways in which it has been accepted by someone, verified by someone, before they even begin to listen to you, sir. We have to join the network team for the latest from Starcom Network News. We'll be back with your calls on this Thursday edition. Stay with us. 434-1790-2664862. That's 266-IVOB. That's the WhatsApp number. Or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. From one of all regular WhatsAppers said that the English lesson that was carried out just prior to news was not necessary. People speak what they want to speak on Brass Tacks. It may not be what you want to hear, but it's what they want to talk about. And as a host, all I'm here to do is facilitate and enjoy the conversation when it happens. Like right now, there are no calls on the board. So if you're home listening for whatever you like to hear, you hear nothing but me just running my mouth. I was telling Michelle in the break that, going back to the language thing, and she said it's communication. Oh, and by the way, someone says, from the way I speak to you, it seems like you're a nice person. So we continue to let them believe that, shall we? Yeah. Right. I told them you are, though. Here's a message for you. Hotel workers in the hotel and tourism industry, a proposed training initiative for displaced tourism sector workers hosted by the Ministry of Tourism and International Transport. Today, September 3rd, 3:45 p.m., Garfield Sobers Gymnasium, Wildey St. Michael. That's a note I got from someone associated with the Barbados Workers Union. And I usually think that they give me information that is correct. So I'm sharing that with you. So if you know anyone who works in the hotel or tourism industry and want to find out about a proposed training initiative for displaced workers, this training thing is key. Right, see, the lights on the board have gone on because of my babbling. So language does work and radio does work. Let me say to you, though, one of the reasons why I like talking about language is because we sometimes believe that everything we say, everyone will understand. until we speak to someone who does not come from the same background we come from, and then we realize it doesn't. It's telling Michelle I had an English teacher from England, yes. So English teacher, who could not understand why every time I was leaving, I said, I'm coming back. And I thought there was nothing wrong with that. And she said, no, you're going out. I said, I'm coming back. That's what we say. We do it all the time. I said, that's what I tell my mother, I'm coming back. Yeah, but you're going out. So I'm supposed to say, I'm going out, I'll be right back. That's a waste of time. You can see me going through the door. But that's what we do, and we consider it pretty normal. You know, that's what we do. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm a little have my problem with the ZRs on the road, especially below the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. I realize now they're making their a ZR stand now. The parking on
the field
after the road going out of town, stopping every van that coming into town, and I up down cross the road. I'm making one whole mess right there. So we'll let the relevant authorities to deal with it. And when they're not parked on the side, going up on the main, the park at the junction. So when you're coming down, then the hospital is on your left. You have to deal and divert and come out in the traffic that's supposed to go down into town, to come around them, then to get out, then to get onto the main. So it's being a mess there. And then yesterday I saw a bicycle man nearly being knocked down by someone trying to get away and get around these that are. So I don't know if the relevant authorities hearing it could just pass around there and see what's going on there, because it's a little bit annoying.
Yeah, I've seen the gathering of buses under the tree on the field. I have seen buses, or sorry, let me say ZRs, individuals too, by the way. So let me not only point the finger at them, because they're other people who do it too. There's a no right turn sign. So to avoid the no right turn sign, they go up the road, you turn across the bus lay-by if they can, cut across the field, or just turn around and you turn in the road. So most of the traffic infringements may start with ZRs or may be exacerbated by ZRs, but we just have lawlessness on our roads, sir. And that's the truth.
Right, that's one of it. But the other one I'm talking about is below the CGI insurance company, right there.
Oh, yeah, that corner is another one. Oh, God, yes. As a matter of fact, there are accidents on that corner regularly, yeah. Okay, yeah, how would you know?
The one in the other area by the playing field, mm-hmm. That seems to be a little bit less now.
Okay.
But at this juncture now, we see
on the corner up here from River Road, on that V there, yeah. Yeah, right. I run into that one too regularly, sir, yeah. And then you have cars that have to come around them to get on to Upper River Road going to Kalama Rock, yeah.
As soon as you come out then, and you think they tend to board down and then leave you on the outside.
On the outside with nowhere to go.
You're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it's proven, in fact, they're blocked. So
yeah.
That's something I'd like the authorities to deal with and check upon.
So, you know, as I said, we have traffic issues, and we have people who make our situation worse than it should be. The challenge for the operators of public service vehicles in the COVID environment is that you have less people traveling. You have less load factor. You're supposed to make sure people are distanced, and you can carry, you should be carrying less people than you normally do. And therefore, the guys are hustling some more, but in doing so, they are making it difficult, or even more difficult, for the traveling public, both pedestrian vehicles and people on bicycles and other things. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but it's rough for everyone.
Yep.
In this environment, but that does not mean that because it's rough for you, you should.
You should take it on everybody.
Rough for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. So, okay. Totally with you on that one.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Note to Dennis, you're saying there are no calls. 1790 indicates it's not in service. Do you have any information? Sir, 4341790. 4341790. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines that all answer to 4341790. So it's a step down system. It goes from one to the other, to the other, to the other. The only time is if all six are operating, in other words, if there are 5 calls, 6 calls on the board, you would most likely call with either drop or you would say it's busy. But there are 6 opportunities to reach 4341790.